Come on, right? There's two things I always are concerned about when I preach. And one of them is making sure I have the microphone right the first time. The Lord's already answered that prayer. The second one is having something to say, and I pray He answers that one as well. So far we're batting 500 at least, so we'll see where it goes from here. That's my joke. I don't really have any jokes. I had a couple earlier in the week that Rachel mentioned, and I thought, I gotta remember those, and they're gone. They're gone. So I know about four jokes, and most of you've heard them all, and that's where, you know, so no use retelling them. So, all right, let's turn in the book of Titus, a couple places, Titus chapter 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 4 tonight. All right, let's 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, let's go back to verse 12 even. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And turn back maybe a page or so there to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Oh, let's go back to verse 6, 2 Timothy 4:6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for a chance to come here and preach Your Word. And Lord, the times are short, the days are evil. A lot of need here is represented within this congregation and our people, our families. Lord, just pray You speak to us, help us be diligent. Help us to love Your appearing. And Father, may You speak to Your people here tonight. And help me not to say anything that I shouldn't, but help me exactly what You'd have them to hear and what You put on my heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a couple of passages there. And a question. I want to ask you a few questions tonight, some things to ponder, some things to think about. And that is, will you love His appearing? The Bible says here, not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and I believe it'll be very, very, very probable in our lifetime, hopefully soon, but will you love His appearing? And I haven't really thought of it this way before ever, and so hopefully it'll shed some light on some things maybe you haven't thought of as well. And also, are you ready for His return? First off, do you realize the reality of the Lord's return? Do you realize it? Oh, we read about it, we hear it preached, we may think about it a little bit. We see the events in the world, everything coming to a head. But do we realize really the reality of it? I remember when I was newly saved, a few years into it, and we rented some movie, old movies made in the 70s, Thief in the Night or something like that. And it was about the rapture. And I'd read the passages, memorized the passages, and yet seeing it that one time, and it was, you know, 70s movie wasn't the best of everything, but yet seeing it, I was like, wow, that's really something. That kept me thinking about that for days, you know, and just pondering that. Do we realize the reality of His return? You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of prophecies about it, and, you know, they spoke of it in Paul's time, but right now, here we are, 2,000 years later, and let's reflect on, you know, just some of the changes that have taken place in the last 20 years. In the last 20 years, what has taken place to bring us closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 20 years is only 1% of the church age. That's just a little, you know, little slip of paper in a huge book. And in the last 20 years ago, there was no European Union. Yeah, Europe was not united like they are now. you fly over there now. It doesn't matter where you land. You check your passport once. You travel over the countries. It was never like that before. China was not a major world economic and military power. You didn't have third world nations like Iraq or Iran trying to get nuclear weapons. But they try, but they're close now. They're close. There's all sorts of things. The technology that's in, you know, we'll touch on it later, but the technology that's in the world, we didn't have our, I won't say rights because we don't really have any rights, privileges as Americans taken away by Homeland Security, our own government, that sort of thing. That didn't happen. You could walk through the airport with your shoes on all the time, and your family could meet you at the gate when you get off the plane, and that sort of thing. Can't do that anymore. And all these things, a little at time, it's become pretty much a cashless society in for most respects. You know, everything's or potentially can be done online. Mass communications, the internet. The internet 20 years ago was kind of always there, but not to prevalence that it is now. The computer technology. You know, I started with Target stores. We moved downtown Minneapolis in 84. And for all the corporation, 500 stores, they had a terabyte of disk space, which took up a room this big, $50,000 machines. I got that sitting on my desk at home now for $800 at Costco, you know. And all that type of thing. What I'm saying is that the infrastructure is here. Not only is the wickedness great and all that, but everything's in place for the mark of the beast. In 1950, could you have a mark of the beast in 1950? What are they going to do? Put some barcodes on your hands? And, you know, I mean, yes, it could happen, but in reality, could it? Not really. But now they have the chips. They have the point-of-sale machines. Every store you go to, swipe your card. Take that one out instead and put your hand there, buddy. You don't need a card, don't need your wallet, don't need it, you know, no identity theft, nothing. So it's all in place. It's all in place. And yet, do we realize that? You say, oh, I realize that. I believe it, brother. I believe. I believe the Lord's coming back soon. I believe it's going to happen. Really? What have you changed in your life? How are you living differently? If you think it's so real, if we as Christians think it's so real, we're Bible believers. If we don't think it's real, nobody does. The average person that's born again out there in this world, they have no concept. The trumpet's going to blow and they're going to go, wow, man, what was that? They have no idea. And they'll stand before God and have no idea of any doctrinal implication, nothing. If we believe it's that real, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are you doing? What am I doing in our lives? Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for a minute. Obviously a familiar passage. 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And, you know, the first thing is, are you realize the reality of it, but secondly, are you anxious for the Lord's return? Do you want Him to come back? Do you want Him to come back? Or do you have things in your life you want to kind of do first? You want, you know, and you believe, if you get all the Christians down at the, whatever, Target Center or something, and interview them in the metro area, all the born-again Christians, I bet a lot of them would, well, I'm kind of, I kind of like to get married first. I kind of like to see my kids get married. I kind of like to do this. I kind of like to do this. They're not anxious for the Lord's return because they're so busy doing what they want to do in this life. And this world is so means so much to them that they want to. They're not really anxious for the Lord's return. And a question I ask you, are you anxious for the Lord's return? Do you want Him to come back? Are you looking forward to it? And if so, why? Why are you looking forward to it? You know, I hear more people talk about, well, I just can't wait to get out of here. That's good. It's better not looking forward to it at all. But why is that? Is it for selfish reasons? Is it because our rights, our privileges are kind of being taken away? And the economy isn't quite what it used to be. And it's going to get worse. And I'm having trouble with my personal life. And man, I just want to, Lord, just please come back. Is that what it is? I remember right after I was saved and just kind of getting the concept of the rapture and getting tired of this. We're all at a park playing softball. And no, it wasn't a hamstring this time. I wrecked. It was I was running and I slipped in the grass. And my knees, the bottom of my body stopped with my foot and the top dent. And my knee was the hinge point. And so I'm laying on the ground, my knee all trashed. I'm just laying there thinking, Lord, today would be, right now, would be a really good time for the rapture. Like, right now. No, how about now, you know? And it didn't happen. But, you know, why was that? It was selfish. I wanted to get out of there right now, you know? And it was a selfish reason. And, you know, so often we go through in our lives, if we're honest with ourselves and we think about it, is it a selfish reason that we want to get out of here? Or is it for God's glory? Are we looking to see Him? Are we looking to love His appearing? Or just to get out of here? Those of you who have been overseas on those mission trips around Mexico, I don't know about you, but I'm handing out to John Romans those people and just kind of praying as they come by. And I'm not thinking, Lord, it would be great if you came back like right now. No, like right now. No, how about before that guy reads it right now? I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about, Lord, just get into their hands. Just let me help them take the John Romans. Pray that they come to that meeting. Pray they get saved. And then come back, you know. But I'm not thinking about that. Why? Because my eye is on Him. It's not on my problems. It's not on, oh, I want to get out of here so bad. Oh, our country's going down the tubes. Oh. It's not about that. Because I'm thinking about Him. And, you know, we got to watch ourselves with that. And I told you this before, I was down in Mexico a couple years ago and seeing the way the destitution down there. And it's like, God, is this what's going to take in our country before they'll hear the gospel? Where there's just dirt streets and poverty and that sort of thing. Is that what's going to take? And if it does, I know I mentioned this before, but will there be anybody left to preach? Will anybody be bold enough? Some aren't bold enough now, but will they then have some boldness? Or are they just going to roll over and say, woe is me, my country's gone? People, we gotta be diligent. We gotta be anxious for the Lord's return. We gotta do it for the right reasons. We gotta do it because we want to glorify Him, not for our own self desires. And you know, don't be depressed and discouraged. I mean, yes, there's a reason to be discouraged the way our country is going. True, but as far as our personal living conditions, as far as how the Lord has blessed us, as far as what we have is our own provisions and a place to worship, we have nothing to complain about. And you know, I wish everybody can go over and see some way most people in the world live. That's changed my perspective. And until you see that, until you realize it firsthand, it's just a picture in National Geographic. It's just a news blurb. It's just nothing until you realize. And people, we need to be thankful for what we have here. I was looking up in the computer today and just for curiosity, and the gross national product of the United States is about the equivalent of the next leading three nations combined, which is China, Japan, and Germany. Things are real tough here. They're really tough. Really tough. And our missionaries have to spend 3 to 5 years of deputation to get overseas. That's sad. That's sad. The average person in the United States earns $46,000 a year, every man, woman, and child. In Bulgaria, it's $14,000. In Moldova, $3,400. So not so bad. It's not so bad. We got a little ways to go yet. Are you ready? First off, you're anxious for the Lord's return. But beyond being anxious, we talked about why you're anxious. Is it anxious for selfish reasons, or is it anxious for that you can't wait to see the Lord? Whatever the reasons. Next, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord's return? Let's turn over to a couple places here. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Are you ready for the Lord's return? The Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And it is a comfort. But you know, the Lord looks beyond, as He looks at our motives too. It's one thing to be anxious for His return. It's one thing to be, you know, believe He's coming back. The Lord looks at our heart, and why are we? Why are we anxious for Him to come back? And also, are we ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 says, for we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are manifest in your conscience. That verse 11, obviously the judgment seat of Christ, but verse 11 there says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And I hope I'm not coming across wrong, and I hope I don't. I'm not trying to take the staff and hit the sheep, beat the sheep. Try and take that staff and just kind of push a little bit here, push a little bit towards the right pastures, towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we've seen too many people drop by the wayside. We've seen too many sheep just go off and never come back. And, you know, it's a burden to God. It's a burden to many of us. But what we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Wait till you turn there. I just happened to flip there right away, so I got a head start. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 says, for every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built it thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved as yet by fire. There's, you know, are you ready? The Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, the rapture is a great thing. Yes, the Bible says to comfort one another with these words. But are we ready? Are we ready? I know about you guys, but those of you who have kids at home, once in a while my wife and I will, you know, go away for an anniversary, we come back, or go away for a night or something and come back and the house is all clean and, you know, they're anxious to see us and, you know, there's maybe I think, you know, a little cake or something like that, but they're anxious to see us. The house is clean. They've made preparation for our return. And, you know, the Bible says in John 14:3, it says, Jesus Christ said, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone and prepared a place for us. He doesn't have to. Why would he do that? He already died for us. He already left the thrones of glory and come down and dwelt amongst us sinful people, knowing that he'd be crucified, knowing he'd be ill-spoken of, knowing he'd be lied about, knowing he'd be betrayed. He knew all that. And he left. And he rises from the dead, and he's going to prepare a place. And what I'm asking tonight is, can we prepare us? Can we make ourselves ready, like Lord Jesus Christ did for us? Like maybe your kids have cleaned up a little bit around the house and anticipating your return home. And yet we're, you know, can we do anything for God, for show him our thankfulness that we get to see him one day? And how can we get ready? How can we kind of clean up our house? How can we clean up our heart in preparation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back? Be honest with yourself. Do you really want to see him in 10 seconds exactly like you are right now? Do you? I don't. I got some cleaning up to do. I got some things I got to get done. I got some things I need to straighten out. Do you? Do you? The Bible says, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 6:19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, we get this funny idea, no matter how much we try, that it's all about, we think to ourselves, our natural tendencies is to be selfish, and it's all about me. And it's not, of course. The Bible says there that we're not our own, we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. What are we doing to glorify God in our body? How are we cleaned ourselves up? What has God put on our hearts that he has asked us to do, maybe asked us to do repeatedly? And if we're honest with ourselves, we still haven't done it. What is it? I don't know. What? You know, some things I need work on. Just kind of throwing that out there. What about yourselves here? Romans 12:1. Most of you probably have it memorized. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye renewed Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We heard Mark preaching that a while ago. But two things are, presenting your body as a living sacrifice. How are we doing that? Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. You believe it, I assume. You believe that it's coming to be soon. What are we doing? How are we cleaning up our temple here? How are we cleaning house in our own selves, in our own lives, to make ourselves ready so that we can meet Him face to face? Not, man, I wish I would have done that. Are we going to hang our head? Or will we be able to meet Him face to face, like Fanny Crosby said? A woman that could never see in her whole life, and all she wanted to do was to see her Savior face to face. You know, I was talking to teaching a teen this morning. I thought about, maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but you know what we go through. The devil is the great accuser, and he is constantly accusing. And sometimes I look at where we sin and we give the devil the victory and we take one away from God, and we grieve the Holy Spirit. But what if the judgment seat of Christ comes? And the devil's off in the distance. The devil enters heaven. In Job chapter 1, he was there bartering with God about Job. What if he's there and there's a judgment seat taking place? We know for certain that before we were saved, we would have died and gone to hell. We've been screaming for all eternity. And the devil would have taken pleasure in that. He would have loved to hear us scream. He can't now. But he can hear all those people scream yet. But what if the judgment seat of Christ, and we're getting judged, and we put all our works in a big old pile, and the devil's just sitting back there. He's watching. And poof, big fire, and just a couple little pieces there. He goes, yes! He had so much potential, that guy did. But I could get him anytime I wanted with that particular sin. And it's burnt. It's all burnt up. Just a couple little pieces there. I got him. Oh, he's going to heaven. Got about that much. That's all he's got. Because he would never sell out for Jesus Christ. Because he would never clean out the temple. I got him. What if it was something like that? And we're sitting there. It's not the way God wants it to be. The Bible says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, right? Be not conformed to this world. Do we realize the reality of it? Are we anxious for it? Are we ready? What have we done? If we were to be honest with ourselves, let's take a trip back 3 months ago. What have we done the last 3 months to draw closer to God? Are we closer? Are we further away? What have we done in our personal lives in the last 3 months, let's say, to draw closer to God? Let's turn over back to 2 Timothy 4:8. Let's go. I'll just hold that spot there 1 second here. Lost my spot here. 2 Timothy 4:8. We'll get back to that in just a minute here. But there's a couple other things here. We talked about, are you ready for it? Are you ready for the Lord's return? And there's a few other things here, missed a couple spots here, but, can we clean up the temple? Can we present our bodies living sacrifice? And the question I ask is, what are we waiting for in this? We just had revival meetings, 2 weeks ago? What did the Lord put in your heart? What did the Lord put in our hearts that He wanted us to start or stop doing? What was it? A lot of people came to the altar. Are you still acting on it? Did you kind of just let it go? What is it? When will it be that you and I stop making excuses about things? Many of you have been in this church 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's still times to make excuses. There's still things that we know we should be doing that we're not. Lady, will you be the wife, mother he's asked you to be? Man, will you be the father, husband that you should be? If someone, some man were to come up to you on the street and say something derogatory about you as a man or you as a lady, you'd take great offense to it. But what about, you know what? What if there's a day and there will be a judgment seat of Christ where we stand before God and he looks at us, say, as a man, as a husband, a father, you know, I gave you a good church. I gave you a perfect book. I died for your sins. I gave you a family. I gave you a job. I gave you pretty good health. And you live in America. Yeah, that's good. Good place to live. And you never went on the street for me to hand out tracts, right? Okay. You were afraid to open your mouth for me. You felt sheepish about leading your family, husband. You're shy about speaking up. And lady, what was it? It was just hard to submit, wasn't it? I know what it was like to submit. I became a servant to all men, and I created all men. You had trouble with it, ma'am? You had trouble submitting? You see, that might be kind of hard. It's reality. We got to think about these things. The devil does not want us to even ponder these things. He wants us to go through life, grabbing some low-hanging fruit, and keep on going. Someday we'll stand before him. And what are we doing? What are we doing in our position in life as a teenager, as a 50-year-old man? What are we doing in our lives? That we can prepare ourselves that we can see him face to face one day with joy in our hearts. What does he put in our heart? What are we doing? And that gets into what are we doing? The Bible says there in 2 Timothy 4:8, not to me only, but also unto all of them that love his appearing. This was what really struck me, is this loving his appearing. Because I look forward to the rapture, I look forward to getting out of here, I look forward to these different things, but wait. I mean, I'm talking the appearing, the seeing of Jesus Christ. Not just the clouds opening, not just we're up instantly out of here. I'm talking about seeing him face to face. Just love to see him. Not just getting out of here, but just love to see him. What is it? Do I do that? You're anxious, you're ready, you want to get out of this crazy sinful world, but do we love his appearing? The Bible says that we're to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. None of us do that like we should, right? What have we given up? Do we love him like that? Do we obey that commandment? What are we giving up? What's precious to you? What do you enjoy doing? What are your hobbies and pastimes? Where do you spend your time? What would it take, what particular item in your life is precious to you that if you lost it would really be devastating? That's just for illustration purposes. Put a whole big pile of things over in this corner. They're precious to you. Maybe some guns, some hobby stuff, but iPods, iPads, iPods, whatever. Just put a big pile of stuff here that you spent a whole lot of time, and I spent a whole lot of time and money on. Just tangible things. And over here, let's put another pile of intangible things like pride and laziness and shyness, indifference. Pile here. In the middle is judgment seat of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ standing there. And just like Peter, he told Peter, he says, lovest thou these more than me? You went through this whole life. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. You had not enough money to go on a mission trip. You had not enough time to come to church 3 times a week. You're a little too shy, a little too prideful, a little too whatever to go and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Did you love this more than me? Is that what it was all about? Do you love? He asked Peter 3 times. Do you love these more than me? Do we? What is in these piles, if we're honest with ourselves, and your own personal life, that is All those things by itself are not necessarily bad, but if one of those things is keeping you from doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's bad. It's sin. Are you willing to give it up? Are you ready to love Him the way He deserves? What keeps us from loving God? Lovest thou these more than me? And I just can't get that visual out of my head of thinking of that and just seeing the sacrifices, all the things that we have as Americans. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But yet, they busy our lives up and they take time away and they cost money and all these different things. And has it gotten in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ? I don't know. Something to think about. Well, your love is appearing. Lovest thou me more than these? What is it that we ought to love in His appearing, of actually seeing Him? Far beyond just realizing He's coming back, far beyond just wanting to get out of here for selfish reasons, what is it that we ought to love about His appearing? Your husband and wife is the greatest example of, in the Bible, of course, of Christ and the church. Well, what makes a strong marriage? The communication, the fellowship, the intimacy, going through life's journey and sharing the joys and hardships and tragedies, all these different things together, working together, solving the issues, getting stronger as individuals, getting stronger as a couple, drawing closer to God. All these things help to make the marriage what it should be, and many other things. But imagine a couple that would go through their married life and, you know, Wednesday morning or Wednesdays and a couple times on Sunday is the only time they talked. Maybe only Sunday mornings. What kind of marriage would that be? You see, I think that reason we're honest, we don't really love His appearing, is that we don't have that fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ all the time like we should. Is that we fall short of that. We put sometimes a lot of emphasis on our fellowship with others here, which is fine. But we don't put enough on our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we don't love His appearing, like I say, because our relationship with Him. I know mine, I thought about this, is not what it should be. I know it's not what it should be, but that's one of the reasons that, and to be quite truthful, there's some trepidation in that, of looking face to face with Him. Because of that, my relationship is not what it should be. My fellowship is not what it should be. And, you know, it should be where I can't wait to see Him. Not just I got out of this place, not just I got home in heaven, not just I'm done with my sinful body. No, I just can't wait to see Him. That should be all that matters. And I go overseas and I come back and I'm very, very, very anxious to see my family. And I'm flying back in those overseas planes, like, you know, I have a little plane, you know, and he sees where you're at and never goes fast enough. Stays over the Atlantic forever. And then I start getting tired and I look, it's kind of getting over the continent and I'm getting excited, getting closer, you know, and closer. And it lands usually in Chicago, and then it's like the last flight. There's no way I'm sleeping, you know. And I get off the plane, and then it's just, you know, grab the bags, and you go down, and there's a stairway that's going down to where the luggage area is at the airport, and I'm kind of like watching for their feet, you know. So I wonder where they're at. Why? Because I'm anxious to see them. I've talked to them. I've had fellowship and phone with them a little bit. But I want to see them. I want to see all of my family. Because I love them. And we've gone through the trials of life together. We've gone through things. We've helped each other out. We've spent time together, a lot of time, a lot of quality time together. And yet, I look at that and I say, well, have I done that type with my Savior? Have I desired it that much? Have I spent quality time? Have I done what I should? And maybe that's the reason why, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't love His appearing like we should. 2 Timothy there in chapter 4, verse 8, says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me also, but all of them also that love His appearing. People, we ought to strive to go beyond just looking forward to the rapture, just looking forward to getting out of here, just knowing all the doctrinal prophecies of it. We ought to strive to love His appearing. To love it and say, to be able to look in His face and without any shame, without any regret, right? The Lord, I say, asked Peter three times, lovest thou me more than these? What about you tonight? What about me? What about yourselves here? What is it? What is it in your life that you love more than God? That you love more that's keeping you from looking Him right in the face with joy instead of some trepidation? What is that pile of junk you have? You know what? In my little illustration there, we get before Him one day, and He says, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And you look and say, "What in the world?" You have the mind of Christ. Even without the mind of Christ, you say, "What was I thinking? Why did I waste time with this? Why did I let these things and be a distraction? Why did I do that? Why did I do that?" You know, unfortunately for a lot of people, like I mentioned earlier, the rapture will happen. And obviously there will be those mass amount of people that will be left behind. But there's going to be a lot of people, or it will almost be a surprise to them. There will be a lot of people that, you know, will be some trepidation. Maybe it takes 5 seconds. Maybe it's instantaneous, whatever it is. We don't all go through the judgment seat of Christ instantaneously. There's got to be some type of time, you would think. But seeing our Savior and... What will it be like for most people? What will it be like for most of us if we don't change in some ways the way God is asking us to change? What will it be like? Will it be a little shameful? You know what I like it to be like? I like it to be where it should be, where we see Him, and we fall down on our face before Him. You reach forward, put your hands forward, and you can grab those feet. You can feel those nails where they're poked into them. And you just have your head down. And says, "God, I fellowship with you. I pray with you. It's so good. It is so good to be in your presence. It's so good that I don't have to just... I can be next to you. It is so good." He takes those hands and puts them on your head. And you can feel those little indentations where those nails pierce His hand. He says, "Well done, the good and faithful servant." That's what it ought to be. We just need to look forward to His appearing. Adjust our lives. Repent. Start doing what we need to be doing. Quit kidding yourself. You can fool other people. You can't fool God. There's not a single person in this room that is doing everything they can. And we need to stick together. We need to pray for one another. We need to support one another. We need to. Times are getting tough, but people, if we can reach forward and grab those feet and put our heads down and get in the presence of God without having to hang our heads, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, and just pray that Lord, you do a work here in our hearts. And it really struck my heart. I realized my failings and, Lord, my need to straighten out things in my life, to, Lord, not wait to the rapture to have fellowship with you, God, but have desired that fellowship strongly right now through prayer and reading my Bible and just be thinking on spiritual things, God. Oh, Lord, you've given us so much. You've given us so much. Lord, please help us be faithful. Help nobody else in sitting here tonight, Lord, walk out these doors the last time. Help that not be the case, Lord. Help us to remain faithful. Lord, please, we thank you for your long suffering and your patience with us. We thank you for your goodness, God, that you even care enough to give us something out of your word. That you get the glory, because you love us, Father. We thank you for that. Pray you continue to do work here and tonight. And just thank you so much for saving us, Father. And thank you for the blessed hope that we do have. And help us to look to you one day with joy in our heart that our fellowship is finally finalized. And we can see you face to face. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have your heads down for a couple minutes here. If anybody needs to come forward, you... feel free to do that. The Bible says, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." That's not even the terror I was speaking of tonight, preaching on. It was that just, can we change our lives that we truly, in all our hearts, love is appearing? Out of gratitude and reflecting of all that He's done for us. God is good. God is so good. What is it that He's put on your heart? You know, He wants to do that. He wants you to serve Him more so that you can get the joy in it all. That you can have joy in your lives. Is there anybody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I never really touched on it tonight. The message was mostly to Christians. But there's no greater peace of knowing where you go when you die. And that is found only by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not a matter of being a Baptist or any denomination, but realizing you're a sinner, then only Jesus Christ can save you. Another thing to think of, like a lady like Fanny the Crosby wrote those songs when I should see him face to face. And here she lost her sight as a little girl. Never had to be polluted, even back then, with all the garbage in this world with her eyes. And the very first thing she ever saw when she got her sight back to be her Savior. What a blessing. That was the one spiritual woman that wrote those hymns. Amazing thing. All right. Let's turn to, you can stand and turn to page number 156. One of my favorite songs, actually. Think about what you're singing here. It's real. It's a reality. Different. And when it gets down to the chorus, just the ladies, oh Lord Jesus, how long, how long? And then everybody shout the glad song, and then the guy, everyone will join and Christ returneth. Okay?
Thank you.
guys, you gotta be louder. I thought you were, some of you were singing in low high voices there. When you gotta get high in the guys, come on, man. All right, last verse. Nikki's pregnancy, is that?
Yes, there? Madison's mother.
Okay, sounds good. Brother Gishon, we're on close to prayer now.
Our Heavenly Father, we, the Lord, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord again today. And thank you for all these men that put in the time and the effort to get the messages together, hear what Brother Stephen's gone. Appreciate all the folks coming out and hearing the Word of God preach. I do pray that you would just focus our hearts and our minds on the things that are important. Father, that is looking for you to come back, looking for you to take your rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, you deserve that title, and it will be a grand and glorious day when that finally happens. I pray now that you just be with us this week. Help us to stay close to you. For all this